Good morning. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I love John's story this morning of Mary's encounter with the risen Jesus in the garden outside of his tomb. She doesn't recognize him. You know, he calls her, when he first talks to her, he calls her woman, which probably seems a little strange for us today, because we would probably say miss, or when you get a little older, the ma'am starts coming out, right? Do you remember the first time you were called ma'am? I hate that. Who said that? I know. That first time it came out, it was like, what? I've just moved from miss to ma'am. There's a whole emotional thing that goes along with that. He calls her woman or miss, and she calls him sir. We kind of use that way of identifying or addressing someone that we might not know very well, right? You write a letter, you're not sure who you're writing it to. You don't know if it's a man or a woman, and we say, dear sir or madam, right? That's what we say. Mm-hmm. It's a formal way of addressing someone. It speaks about the relationship that I don't really know you, so I don't feel comfortable in calling you by your first name. It's kind of a little invasive. You know, when I was growing up, it was always, you know, the parents of my friends were Mr. and Mrs., right? Mr. and Mrs. Mr. Nola, Mrs. Nola. It wasn't Ann and Tom. Mr. Hannah, Mrs. Hannah. It wasn't Jack and Salita. I think I would have gotten slapped if I had said that. And it's because they weren't my friends. They were the parents of my friends. It's not like I go over there, sit down, and have a chat with them about how their relationship is going. Right? You wouldn't. So you would call them Mr. and Mrs. Now, do you notice that you kind of graduate? Like there's a group of friends that your parents have that they're really, really close to. And you call them aunt and uncle. I don't know if that's a northern thing. Aunt and uncle, okay? So my next door neighbor that my mother had got, you know, grown very, very fond of, and they were good friends, they would have coffee. She drank Tab. She would come over. This is when Tab, she'd have her glass of Tab, and she would come over, and they would chit-chat for hours, my mother and her. And she was Aunt Terry. And her husband was Uncle Dick. I mean, that's who they were, Aunt Terry and Uncle Dick. And I understood that they were my parents' good friends and that I wasn't related to them. Now, I had an Aunt Millie and an Uncle Chet and an Aunt Florence and an Uncle Johnny. Do you know that it wasn't until I was old? They were my godparents. And it wasn't until I was an adult that I found out that we had no relationship with them. I'm like, now, Uncle Chet, I mean, who is he related to? Is he on dad's side, mom's side? My mother looks at me and said, what? They're not related to us, you know, blood relation. So, you know, I had absolutely no idea. Because back then, to use a person's first name was very personal, right? As I now, my Aunt Terry is in her 70s. If she's listening, I'm sorry if I got that wrong, but I know she's not in her 80s. And she'll say to me, you can call me Terry now. I can't do it. I just can't do it. She'll always be Aunt Terry for me, because it means that you kind of move into a relationship that maybe you might not even be ready for with that person. Unless, of course, that's how that person introduces themselves to you. Right? You always take it from how they introduce themselves to you. Now, do you remember that first time that somebody kind of crossed that boundary and you didn't realize it? And then when you did, you were like, whoa. I remember this. It was about 21 years ago. We were living in New York. There were no cell phones. This is pre-cell phone anyway. And we had a home phone, and the phone rang. And it wasn't unusual for me to get a call at home from work, the previous profession that I had, because if an ATM system was down or there were any issues, I would get phone calls. More people knew me than I knew them. So I get this phone call, and I said, hi, and I hear this. Hi, I said, hello, and I hear, hi, Marianne, this is Tony. And I'm like thinking, my gosh, who's Tony? I don't know any Tonys. Who's Tony? You know, I'm really racking my brains. And I figured, well, if I talk a little bit more, maybe I'll know this person because they just called me Marianne. And I said, hey, hi, Tony. How are you doing? He said, I'm well. How are you? I said, I'm really well. Thank you. And then I'm expecting he's going to say something about work. And he said, well, I'm calling to talk to you about making sure that you're taken care of if something happens to Carl. I said, excuse me? You know, now all of a sudden I'm like, who is this? Tony, who is it? He said, this is Tony from MetLife. I said, Tony, I don't know you. And I hung up the phone. When did that happen? Where someone who is soliciting us to buy a product moved from calling us Mr. and Mrs. to referring to us by our first name. I remember the first time that happened. I felt like it was an invasion of my personal space, an invasion of my privacy, that this person stepped into a relationship that didn't exist by calling me by my first name and not Mrs. Kallenbach. And trust me, I know that's not an easy name to say, and I love having not an easy name to say, because that's how I know that I don't know this person. So this person became way too familiar without my permission. I mean, only people who know me, I felt, should be calling me Marianne. I remember the first time Carl and I were in a restaurant, and the waiter comes over and he gives Carl back his credit card and he said, thank you, Carl. And it was like, Carl? Like, why are you calling? I know it says Carl on the card, but they used to always say, thank you, Mr. Kallenbach. And it was one of those like, whoa, you know, thank you, Carl. That just seems so strange to us at that time. Now I think we're just probably used to it. But it's how we address each other that speaks to our relationship. I hear the wait staff downstairs because I have my office here and the grill room is downstairs. And I hear them refer. They see these same gentlemen and women every day. And it's always Mr. and Mrs. Never, ever the first name. It's always Mr. and Mrs. It's a sign of respect, or that I don't know you that well, that I would call you by the first name. So let's go back to the garden. Jesus' first encounter with Mary, what does he say to her? How does he address her again?
Woman.
Miss. Right? And Mary calls him Sir. Yeah. It's a formal relationship. She doesn't see him because he referred to her as Miss. She takes him for the gardener who is there to help her, which makes perfect sense. The tomb is in a garden. The stone is rolled away. She is frantic. There has been a grave robbery, literally a grave robbery that has happened here, and she needs help. Find my Jesus. Please, someone took his body out of the grave. I need you to find him. Did you move him some other place? I can't imagine why, but just tell me where he is and I'll go get him. Because you see, there was no time to prepare his body the way the ritual required it, because the Sabbath had come very, very quickly and they all had to go home. And so she brought all the ointment with her to do that. Then Jesus speaks to her again. And what does he say that second time? Mary. Mary. He addresses her by her first name. It's very personal. And she immediately recognizes that this is Jesus. Jesus. She's looking for a corpse. And there is Jesus, alive, standing right before her. She knows him because he knows her. He speaks her name and she knows who this is immediately. And all of a sudden, her total despair, her mourning, her grief is suddenly brought to a halt by the sound of her name being spoken by her Lord, the one she watched die just 3 days earlier. Her entire life changed by the sound of her risen Lord calling her name. Her death is over, and she is now very much alive. The same is true for us. In the death and resurrection of Jesus, we too die, but we rise to new life. The song says, no more sorrow, no more pain. And what is Mary's response to Jesus? She responds with one word. Do you know what that word is? Rabboni, teacher. To be more precise, it is my teacher. It is very personal to her. And she sees herself now as a disciple, a follower, a student of Jesus. Now keep in mind, this is highly unusual. She's a woman, for goodness sake. She's a woman at that time. She was a nobody without a male in her life. And the risen Jesus came to her. And Jesus treats her as the disciple she identifies herself as and gives her a message. Go to my brothers and bring them this message. And like a follower, she goes and she declares not only what Jesus saw, but the first words out of her mouth are, I have seen the Lord. On this day, there's one thing I want you to remember. Jesus knows your name. You are not a sir or a madam. You are Cecilia. You are Josette. You are Lynn. You are Dennis. You are Elisa. You are Beth. You are Maverick. You are Madison. Jesus doesn't just know your name. Jesus calls your name. You are his. And in that knowing, in that relationship, you are made new by the one who knows you better than you know yourself. Listen. Listen for our Lord calling your name and know that the risen Jesus does indeed call you on this very day and every single day of your life. Amen.